out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 1st of April 2019 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Don't worry, there won't be any April Fool's Day jokes in this podcast because we are going out in the afternoon and you're supposed to play those jokes before midday, I do believe. That's the British tradition. Anyway, but a happy April Fool's Day to you all. Well, we've got an absolute scandal to begin with today, a real scandalous news story that, as far as I'm aware, it's not being covered in any of the mainstream press. It's just appears on Breitbart at the moment, and it actually comes from Hungary, a guy called Zoltán Kovács. I think I've seen him speaking before. He's pretty good. I think he's the foreign minister. It says here he's the Secretary of State for International Communications. So he's the spokesperson to the rest of the world for Hungary. Great name there. I think Zoltán was a character in a cartoon series from years ago called Battle of the Planets. But I may be wrong. It may be something from Flash Gordon. Great name there anyway. The Hungarian government claims a suspected Islamic State terrorist who entered Europe posing as a refugee was in possession of a prepaid debit card from the European Union and that the EU has issued 64,000 such cards to migrants. A Syrian national by the name of F. Hassan was detained in Budapest by the officers of the Counter-Terrorism Centre on suspicion of acts of terror, including involvement in explosive attacks and carrying out multiple executions in his homeland in 2016, reported Dr. Zoltán Kovács, Hungary's Secretary of State for International Communications, international spokesman for the Cabinet Office of Prime Minister Viktor Orbán. TEK collaborated with Europol and the secret services of several countries to investigate the alleged criminal activities and European network of the Syrian man, who is thought to have been a high-ranking Islamic State leader, Kovács continued, describing how the asylum seeker had claimed he was working for the Greek security services after being discovered and brought to court. This story has a deeply disturbing side, he went on, claiming that after initial denials, the European Commission finally admitted that the United Nations and the European Union have been distributing prepaid debit cards to migrants who have reached the territory of the EU, with some 64,000 of them allegedly distributed to migrants just in January alone. And it gets worse, Kovács added. Reports say that the suggested jihadist received a monthly payment of 500 euros on his debit card. That's well over today's gross minimum wage in Hungary. That's unbelievable that these migrants are just being given access to free money. And when you think of the struggle that people in Europe have, white people in Europe have, just to make enough wages to get by, to think that these foreigners can just be handed a prepaid debit card as soon as they get to the shores of Europe and are actually being paid more than people that are working every day to pay for the roof over their heads is just shocking. And where's this money coming from? Well, of course, it's coming from the European taxpayers. This should be headline news in all the mainstream media. And it's not. They are just covering it up. The pro-immigration interests in Brussels are going too far. How many European citizens would knowingly support half-baked ideas like distributing to migrants prepaid debit cards charged up with EU taxpayer money? Not only will it do nothing to stop migration, but worse, this will put the safety of Europeans at risk, he blasted. And that's, you know, just to think that any migrant is just going to be handed this, let alone the fact that these are at, this guy's a terrorist and he's been given this. How many terrorists are there in Europe effectively being paid by the European Union while they prepare their terrorist acts? I mean, it could be that the European Union even knows that these are terrorists and they've actually been out there in Syria being paid to wage war against Assad and now they're making their way back. Don't forget there was that huge convoy of trucks filled up with terrorists that it took hours for it to get out of one of the terrorist centers in Syria, and they were just allowed to leave. The white helmets, they were just allowed to leave and come back to Europe and Canada, these terrorist organizations, while people like Jared Taylor are being refused entrance into Europe, and they're just allowing these savages into the continent and paying them. Claims that the European Union, the United Nations, and billionaire open borders activist George Soros have been distributing anonymous prepaid debit cards to migrants, either in concert or through separate initiatives, have been a bone of contention between pro and anti-mass migration commentators for some time. Left-leaning fact-checkers, such as Africa Check, which is part-funded by Soros's Open Society NGO, have dismissed the claims as false, especially as they pertain to their donor. But the European Commission has now admitted that it uses the money it takes from EU member states, including the United Kingdom, to fund a programme run by the UNHCR for prepaid debit cards for refugees and asylum seekers in Greece. So these so-called fact-checkers that everyone is being told that we should believe, and we shouldn't believe the alternative journalists online, we should be believing these fact-checkers, that's been proved false by this as well. They've been lying about this and pretending that this doesn't happen. And now the European Union have admitted that yes, it does happen. And it's not as if it's happening just through an individual NGO. This is being run by the United Nations, the UNHCR. They're the ones that are running this, and that the fact checkers have been covering for them. The Commission claims the cards are limited to refugees and asylum seekers, not anonymous, and only valid in Greece. But the Hungarians have disputed their version of events. Well, a debit card works wherever there is a cash point. Debit cards aren't limited to countries. And if you've got the EU there and it's euros, it could be anywhere that dishes out euros, basically. They would be able to use these cards. And if this guy was using his one in Hungary, then obviously they don't just work in Greece. Kovacs continued, the EC, that's the European Commission, says that there are no anonymous debit cards. However, they themselves admit that the single form of identification regarding the bank cards is a number. And again, these are mealy-mouthed words that they use when they say, oh no, these cards aren't anonymous. And most people would think, well, that means you know the name or the identity of the person that has this card. And no, what they mean by they're not anonymous debit cards is that each card has a number. Well, every card has a number, but then you think about all the hoops European citizens have to jump through in order to get bank accounts and get bank cards. You think this is just incredible that these guys can just walk around with an anonymous card that's charged up with money. We know that they throw their passports away and pretend to be Syrian or pretend to be Iranian or whatever country is most likely to be allowed to get in as an asylum seeker. And this just encourages them to do that all the more, because it doesn't prevent them from being given one of these free cards at all. He says, did you get that? While EU nationals are required to abide by strict regulations to hold bank cards, Brussels doesn't expect the same from migrants whose identities are often impossible to establish, he complained. The Hungarian minister also claimed that issuing the cards to refugees and asylum seekers blurs the lines between refugees and economic migrants. These cards will have been given out before the asylum claims have been processed, because it can take years to process an asylum claim and check to see whether they are entitled to asylum or not. And every one of the migrants, the invaders that come over, they all claim asylum first. They all try to get on the asylum gravy train. And then if they don't manage that, then obviously they appeal it, and it takes years. So these cards will be given to every single one of the invaders, is being given a €500 charged debit card the minute they set foot in Greece. And the European Union have been lying about this. The fact checkers have been lying about this. And the only people that are breaking the story is Breitbart. And that's just unbelievable that this isn't major news. Kovacs continued, economic migrants may also submit asylum applications, but submission of an application does not in itself mean the applicant is a refugee. This not only creates another pull factor, it also raises serious security concerns. The citizens of Europe have a right to know. They definitely do. I mean, people would be furious to think about this, that their hard-earned tax money that they pay to the government is just being handed over to foreigners with anonymous cards. How about they give the European citizens an anonymous card with €500 on it to spend every month? I mean, what would that do for the economy? That would be great. That would give a huge boost to the economy. That would give a huge boost to production, because there'd be more money there to buy products. But oh no, they don't want to do that for the Europeans. They want to do that for Africans and Syrians and the people that they are importing to replace us. This is disgusting that this has gone on. It's an absolute scandal, whichever way you look at it. Well, the next story that I've got for us today, and this is really shocking, shocking indictment of multicultural society. There have been four stabbings in one night, four stabbings by one person who just apparently went on the rampage, went running around stabbing people in the back, and they haven't managed to catch him yet. And of course they're calling it random, but the victims may have been random, but the attacker wasn't random. I mean, whenever you hear these stories, the person that they are searching for is always described as black. That's not random. That's not random at all. That's coming from an identified group of people. Blacks are far more likely to be engaging in this sort of behavior than any other race. This is why Stop and Search was targeting blacks. It was seen as targeting blacks. More young black men were stopped and searched than any other ethnicity. The reason for that is because they're far more than any other ethnicity, they are likely to carry knives, and they're likely to use knives. I forget how many times it is. It's something like 12 times more likely to be involved in stabbings. I mean, wherever you go in the world, they are 5 times more likely to be involved in violent crime, 5 times more likely to have criminal charges pressed against them for violent crime. And that's not because the police are going after blacks and ignoring whites, because they know that they're going to be accused of being racist if they go after blacks. In fact, there are more blacks that get away with this than any other race as well. And we know that when they get caught and when people expect to see them sentenced, they just get let off because they're black. Because we've got more blacks in our prisons than there should be by their number in the population by their percentage of the population. So the government have advised judges and magistrates that they should bear that in mind when sentencing, and they should also bear it in mind when sentencing that if the young black male in the dock has been in the care system, that he might well have been victim of racism. So that should take some of the sentence off as well. Of course, mainstream media doesn't tell us that. They just tell us that a lot of these people that are being caught by knives, then they're not being sent to prison. But they don't tell us the reason for it. The reason for it is black privilege, basically. This nonsense that we're told that we have white privilege as white people, that's not the truth at all. The truth is, if you're black, you have privilege. If you're black, you can get caught for the same crime as a white man and you won't go to prison. You can be caught with a knife and you won't go to prison. You can apply for a job in the police and your criminal record will be overlooked if you're black. You can apply for a job in the fire service and you'll be taken on just because you're black. And the advert will say white people don't need to apply for this. We're not looking for whites. We're looking for ethnic minorities. If you are, you can apply for an advert for the BBC, which says that they don't want white people to apply anymore because they want more blacks in the television industry and the entertainment industry. It's blacks and minority ethnics that have the privilege in our countries. Anyway, let's get into this article here. Police said a lone attacker had carried out the four attacks on Saturday night and Sunday morning, apparently targeting random victims who were alone and vulnerable, and leaving one of them, a 45-year-old woman, fighting for her life. Now, these attacks, they were all stabbed in the back. So they weren't expecting this. And this reminds me of the attack on young Jody, the young white girl that was a Girl Scout a couple of weeks back. And she was sat on a park bench with a boyfriend, and a young black guy just came up behind her and stabbed her in the back. Now, maybe this is something that these gangs are doing now, just going out and stabbing people in the back to prove how callous they are. That's the sort of thing that they would see as being a good thing to do. They also have scorecards that they keep. They have a little game that they play where if you stab someone in the arm, you get a certain number of points. If you stab someone in the head, you get extra points. Stab someone in the heart, you get top points. And there's this game that they play. So it could well be a part of that. And of course, it's a black game. It's black gangs. Gangs are a black phenomenon. It's basically the same as tribal warfare that you see in Africa. We now have urban tribal warfare, only we call it gangs. Detectives have made two arrests, but the attacker, described as a tall, skinny black man wearing a hood, may still be at large. And of course, to most people, blacks all look the same, so it's very hard to actually tell them apart and give a description which would tell them apart from any other Negroes, especially at night when there isn't a lot of light and you really can't see any defining features on them. So the police don't know whether they've got this guy. They are underfunded, under-resourced. Only 5% of all crimes are now solved, just because there is such a tsunami of crime which diversity and multiculturalism has brought to Britain. Police promised enhanced and dedicated police activity around the clock to keep the area safe, but have warned the public to be vigilant. Oh, how can the police keep the area safe unless every civilian in that area has a policeman next to them with a taser? They can't keep the people safe. It's not possible to. The only way you could keep the people safe or cut down on this crime is to have segregated areas. If you had an area for white people, this wouldn't be happening. It may still be happening in the black area, but at least the white people that didn't carry out these crimes wouldn't be the victims of them. We don't know if there's been any white victims of this attack. It was a multicultural area, so hopefully there weren't, but they may well have been. The first stabbing left a 45-year-old woman in critical condition after she was knifed in the back on Aberdeen Road in Britain's capital just after 7 p.m. on Saturday evening. So it's probably still daylight when she was knifed in the back. Just hours later, a man was stabbed shortly after midnight in Park Avenue and was rushed to hospital with non-life-threatening wounds. A 23-year-old man was then stabbed at Silver Street, Edmonton, before being found at around 3:55 a.m. at Seven Sisters Tube Station and remains in a stable condition. In the fourth attack, an unidentified man was knifed in the back on Sunday morning, just a quarter of a mile from where the woman was stabbed, in the attack witnessed by Mr. Blackman. And earlier in this report, it talks of a witness seeing this. Witnesses said he had been speaking on his phone in Bengali before the stabbing. So the guy was just talking on his phone and, oh, suddenly I've been stabbed in the back. The woman that was stabbed in the back, she said she just couldn't believe that she was stabbed. I mean, she was found in a puddle of blood on the pavement. And instead, it just didn't seem real to her that she'd been stabbed. The person that found her had to be the one to tell her, look, you've been stabbed. I mean, these people have done nothing to antagonize this at all. They didn't even see their attackers. I mean, this is just so cowardly, with no respect for other people's lives whatsoever. And of course, Blacks don't have respect for other people's lives. Why should they have respect for other people's lives? It's not them. They don't have words in their African languages for abstract ideas. They don't understand putting yourself into somebody else's shoes. This is why there is no such thing as society in Africa. It's just lawless and it's all corruption. And as soon as you put these black guys in power, they just become corrupt and build themselves palaces and swimming pools and spend lots of money on themselves and don't do anything for the rest of the African people. Why should they do anything for the African people? They're not them. And even the familial ties, they don't have the same familial ties that white people do. As soon as they're weaned, they're off on their own. And this goes for the well-off ones as well. Don't forget, Barack Obama has never seen his black brothers in Kenya. That they've never set eyes on him for decades, even though he's been in Africa. The ties just aren't there. And we project these things onto them because we have them. And because we're told that these people are the same as us, even though our eyes tell us that they are not, we project our own consciences and the way that we think. We project that onto these people. And they are constantly telling us that that's wrong. I mean, they call our law the white man's law, and they don't see that it's right that blacks should be put in prison for carrying out crimes. Why should they be put in prison for carrying out crimes? It's not the person they carried the crime out against that is putting them into prison. That's their logic. They don't see things in the same way that we see them. Police are treating the four stabbings as potentially linked, but say the victims appear to have been selected at random due to them being alone and vulnerable. Well, yes, the stabbings are linked because they're carried out by a black man. All the stabbings that are carried out by blacks are linked. They're carried out by Negroes. They are particularly being carried out by this particular group of human, this particular race of human. It's not Chinese that are going out stabbing people. It's not Indians that are going out stabbing people. It's blacks that are going out doing this. And it's entirely predictable that they would when you look at their behavior in Africa. It's just amazing that, that our politicians could just allow this to go on and through political correctness refuse to identify, the factors that lead to this. I mean, they are having a meeting today. Theresa May is at a big meeting today on knife crime. And the reasons that are being put forward for this, I mean, it's all the same. They don't have enough ping pong tables. They don't have enough table football. They don't have youth clubs. And that's basically it. They're saying, well, they need to spend more money on them, give them things to do, and then they won't stab one another, which is just an insult to all the white kids that have been brought up in poverty that don't even know what a ping pong table is, but still don't go go around stabbing each other. They've just updated the stop and search laws to allow police to just stop and search anyone they feel suspicious of. And they're already complaining of that and saying that this is going to cause problems for the black community. They will feel like they're being unfairly targeted. And if the government were just honest and said, look, this group of people are responsible for five times as much violent crime as anyone else, you would expect them to be stop and searched at least five times more than any other ethnicity, then maybe they wouldn't have these complaints from the black community that they're being unfairly targeted. I mean, a lot of the time, it's not the black community that are saying they're being unfairly targeted. The black parents of the victims of these stabbings, they've been at the forefront saying, bring back stop and search, bring back stop and search. And it was Theresa May that did away with it. And it was the do-gooder white liberals that were saying, well, this is a racist procedure that they're doing here because it unfairly targets blacks. So, but what's better, unfairly targeting blacks or having a dead black man every night that's been stabbed? I mean, the best thing to do about this is to send them all back to Africa. Some of them are self-deporting. I mean, it's got so bad in London now that Somalian mothers are sending their black teenagers back to Somalia because they're less likely to get stabbed and involved in drugs gangs back in Somalia. Back in a war zone is safer than London now. Well, let's find a positive story to end on here. And this is a story from Britain. An NHS racism czar has been sacked for racially bullying a colleague. Dr. Vivian Lifar-Sisse, who is black, got the boot over allegations that she told a colleague he was everything she despised in a white manager. She had been working as a £100,000 a year associate director of transformation tasked with championing racial equality at a NHS trust. What the hell does that have to do with looking after people's health? Championing racial equality. She was given £100,000 a year for a nonsense job that just consisted of telling people off for not employing enough blacks or not treating the blacks as well as they should. And she was paid £100,000 a year for that. And yet she still attacked the white people that were paying her wages. She still called her manager everything she despised in a white manager. It doesn't matter what you do for these people. They will never stop hating the white man. Whether it's because they've been indoctrinated with it, with the anti-white media, or whether it's just something naturally that they have. I don't know. I think it goes back to freeing them from slavery. When they were slaves, they knew their position. They knew that they relied on the white man for everything, and they knew that the white man was better at things than they were. And they looked up to the white man. And then the white man said, well, we're going to free you now. And it's like they don't have any value anymore. They used to be really valued for the work that they could produce. And they, in their turn, valued the white man for providing the food and the clothing and the water and everything that they needed. And when you take that out of the equation, they don't have a value anymore, do they? What is their value? The white man doesn't need them anymore. And then they get the propaganda telling them that the reason why they fail is because the white man is racist. So I think you've got two factors there. But it's not going to stop. The only way to prevent the problems is to separate the two of us, separate the white from the black. And then there would be no more racism. There'd be no more white supremacism for them to fight against because they would just be among their own people. It was also claimed that the racial equalities officer also bullied and victimized a female colleague over her sexual orientation. And of course, we're taught to believe that blacks would get on with homosexuals because they're both unfairly oppressed minorities. But in actual fact, blacks are more anti-homosexual than whites are. And they have good reason for it as well. If you look at Uganda, where some of them were forced to be homosexual, and they actually rather die than actually be forced to be homosexual. And yet we're told that all the ethnic minorities, well, they're all solid together because they're all oppressed, the Muslims, the homosexuals, the blacks. But they don't. And the blacks resent the fact that homosexuals are looked upon as another persecuted minority because they see it as they brought that on themselves, whereas the blacks are just born that way. So this racial equalities officer was also bullying and victimizing a female colleague at this job that she had where she was supposed to be preventing that. And you also think, well, how often was she doing this? Because this must, if she's done this once, if she's been racist against whites once, she must have done that a lot more times than just that in the time that she had been working there. And this guy was just brave enough to take her on, because she had a very, very high position. She was the racial equality officer. It must have taken quite some work to actually get this case to be taken out against her. And in order to be able to do that, there must have been a lot of instances of this. The sacking came to light last week when biochemist Dr. Lifa Sisse, 58, lost an unfair dismissal claim against Brighton and Sussex University Hospital NHS Trust. They had dismissed her in 2017 after 32 years at the trust following a year-long investigation. 32 years she had been there, and she still hadn't learned not to bite the hand that feeds her. It upheld an allegation that she discriminated against a colleague because he was white and harassed him over his race. So there obviously must have been more than one instance of this. They're probably trying to cover that up in this article here. Three allegations over her bullying and victimisation of a woman colleague were also upheld, and a judge at the London South Employment Tribunal backed the trust's decision to fire the doctor. So obviously quite serious what she did for them to be firing her. This wasn't just a slap on the wrist. And it's good to see that there are now these cases coming up where people are being held to account for being anti-white. Of course, it doesn't outdo the, it's probably about one in a thousand claims, maybe one in a million claims are against non-whites for being racist against whites. Because this widely held view that blacks can't be racist is held by most people. But of course, every race is racist. Every race on the planet puts its own needs first and prefers its own people. And the same as every species on Earth prefers the company of its own species to that of others. It's only whites that have been brainwashed into thinking that that is somehow unnatural or somehow morally wrong. It's the right way to be. It's the only way to be if you're going to preserve the existence of your people and a future for white children. Okay, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.